Yeah.
When you sleep, do they tremble on the edge of the bed, or do you fold them neatly by your head? Do they clench like claws against your own skin when you're living your day all over again? When you sleep,
when you sleep,
where do your fingers go?
When you sleep,
what do your fingers know?
Do you know this song by the band Cake?
What do your fingers
do you know where your fingers go when you sleep? What really happens overnight as you try to rest up? It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. It's our family meeting on sleep today. And as it happens, this is part of the goal of WNYC's Clock Your Sleep project, to learn what really happens overnight as you try to rest up. And we want you to get involved. John Keefe joins us now. He's the editor of the WNYC Data News team, and he's going to explain how you can participate. Hey, John, welcome back.
Hi, Brian.
So how can people participate in WNYC's Clock Your Sleep project? And will it tell us what our fingers do while we're sound asleep?
I don't know if it'll tell you that, but the way that you participate is really pretty easy. You just go to wnyc.org/sleep, the same URL you've been talking about today, and you can keep a sleep diary. You have to log in and set up a login with WNYC, so there's a couple of steps to do that. But once you're logged in, you'll be able to keep every day a sleep diary, and you can do it right there on the web, just kind of like keeping a manual diary. But we also have a couple of ways to help you, because we want to make sure you come back and keep providing data so you can track your sleep. One way to do that is to download the WNYC iPhone app, the sleep app. This is separate from the one you use to listen to WNYC. We actually made a brand new app just for this project. So look for WNYC Sleep in the iTunes store. And you can also connect your Fitbit or your Jawbone up if you have one of those devices. These are things you wear on your wrist to sort of track exercise. Those two devices also help track sleep, and we're setting it up so we can get that data if you give us permission to do so.
And since this is a community data experiment that relates to fitness tracking, while we're explaining our Clock Your Sleep community data experiment, folks, let's have some fun on the phones putting this into context. Who out there already tracks some of your own behavior with a fitness tracker or any other device? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. How are you tracking your life? These fitness trackers, like the ones John just mentioned, Fitbit or Jawbone Up, and there are others, are getting so popular. If you're using something like that, how do you use yours? 212-433-WNYC. And has your fitness tracker actually led you to change any behavior? 212-433-9692. Are you more fit because of your fitness tracker, or are you just more obsessed with your physical numbers? 212-433-WNYC. And I guess, John, worst case scenario, maybe people just feel worse about how fit they're not and how much they now know about it, and they could become shaming devices for some people.
Well, I can say as a user of one who have tried a couple of these now, that is definitely a possibility. And sometimes you feel bad. I felt bad about not making my goal. And I had to let that go and just remember every step I took or every extra hour of sleep I was getting was counting towards something, and I could actually track it, which was great. But yeah, there is that thing when you don't make your goal. It can be a little disappointing, I can say from personal experience.
And specifically, is anyone listening right now already using a fitness tracker to clock your sleep? If so, what are you learning? Be one of the first people to describe during our April-long sleep project what you're learning about your own sleep. And it'll be a model for other folks who are about to join our experiment and do this at WNYC.org or using the app WNYC Sleep. 212-433-9692. Call us if you use a fitness tracker for sleep or anything else. And I think Billy in Brooklyn Heights is doing just that. Hi, Billy. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, I use the Jawbone Up 24 fitness tracker. It's a cool-looking bracelet that I wear on my wrist. And the apps for it are great, besides tracking my sleep and also the number of steps I take a day. They have an app that tracks your caffeine consumption and then relates that to how well you sleep each night.
How does it know when you're sleeping?
It seems to you actually press a button that switches it from day mode to sleep mode, and then it from what I understand, it's based on how much you're moving around when you're sleeping. So then the next day when you look at the app, it will be like light blue from when you're in light sleep, dark blue from when you're in deep sleep, and then it'll even turn orange for when you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom or grab a cup of water.
Huh. So, Billy, what have you learned about your own sleep or the other things you're measuring?
I'm learning that I'm not getting enough sleep. I thought I was getting, you know, close to 7 hours a night, but obviously I was lying to myself because I'm usually clocking in a slightly less than six, so I've been trying to modify that.
Billy, thanks a lot for starting us off. John Keefe, you want to tell us more about how this sleep tracker actually works, how the app that people can download, WNYC Sleep, at the iTunes store actually works? Is it like Santa Claus? It knows when you've been sleeping? It knows when you're awake?
You definitely have to tell it, just like you have to tell the Jawbone app that you're going to be going to bed to some degree. Really, this sprung out of an interest that we had every time we brought up the discussion of sleep, whether it was in the newsroom or in other idea meetings. People just couldn't stop talking about it. And it's true. We're all sort of obsessed with sleep and not getting enough and how we might get more. And a lot of folks, especially in New York, I think, are suffer from sleep issues, not getting enough sleep through the night. So we thought, what could we do that would be a collaborative project to do this? So we worked with the sleep researchers that you're talking with this hour to help us build a way to track it. And they really told us that one of the best ways to learn about your own sleep is by keeping a sleep diary. And we thought, okay, well, they have a pretty sophisticated questionnaire that they ask their patients every morning and every evening. And we thought maybe we could take something with their guidance that was a little bit simpler, a little bit fewer questions. There aren't so many questions about medications and things like that, but still be able to get enough listeners to participate, that not only can we track our own sleep and maybe get better at it, but also see how we compare to our neighbors and other WNYC listeners and participants.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's our Brian Lehrer Show family meeting on sleep today on New York and New Jersey Public Radio. And Josie in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hi, Josie.
Oh, wow. Hi. I've listened to your show forever. First time on.
Thank you. And you use Fitbit, I see.
I do. I got a Fitbit a few weeks ago, and I was kind of appalled when I started doing the sleep tracking and noticed how many times I was awake and how many times. It's so easy. I think that everyone is saying you have to tap it. There's another way. You don't actually have to tap it. I found that when I had to be conscious of the tapping it to go to sleep and tapping it when you wake up, that I wasn't it messed me up because then I was too conscious of the whole thing. Actually, if you don't do the tapping before you go to sleep and wake up, when you wake up the next day, you just put in the time. You can add the time that you went to sleep and the time that you woke up. And even if you just approximate it by a minute or two, because you could see when it logs you on, if you actually were awake before that, and you can adjust the time, it then calibrates the time that you were awake and the time you were restless, and it's fascinating. I think it's really amazing.
And
it's
have you been...
It forced me to go to bed earlier and get more sleep.
And you did start going to sleep earlier and getting more sleep?
Yes, and my husband wore it one night, and I was really bummed that his was, like, not restless or awake. He really sleeps so much more solidly. So when I first started, I couldn't believe how many times I was awake in the night and how many – and I can't figure out if it's, like, related to how much more I exercise in the day with how much more sound sleep I get. But I find it fascinating, and I'm obsessed with it now, and I keep showing it to everybody who I can possibly show it to.
All right, Josie, thanks a lot. That's a great success story, John. So I guess if people go to wnyc.org/sleep and log in and start tracking or download the app from the iTunes store, free app, of course, WNYC Sleep. I see the questions are pretty basic on the app. You fill out when you turned out the lights the night before, how long it took you to fall asleep, if you took a nap, if you had caffeine after 4:30, if you exercised, and then you fill out the time you woke up and got out of bed. So it's the basic information. And then what do you expect participants to see once they start tracking their sleep with us for a number of days or weeks?
So in a couple of days, we're going to start putting up personal charts. We wanted to get everybody to start putting in data first before we did this because we didn't have anything to chart. So you'll actually be able to see, just kind of like you can on your Fitbit or Jawbone app, you can see how many hours you slept during the night. We're not going to get as refined as they do about the light sleep and the deep sleep part. We're really just trying to get this basic question of, like, how much time are people sleeping in general? And we also wanted to make it so you didn't have to have one of these devices in order to participate. That's why we made the free app. That's why you can do it. Right. If you don't even have to have an iPhone, you can go on the website. So really, and then there's a notion out there, and I, you know, it's still being kicked around, that just by just the act of tracking something, whether it's your diet or your sleep, you start to think about it more and maybe can actually improve on it. And so we're going to try to see if that happens over the course of the month.
And so, again, to reemphasize what you just said, people do not have to have a Fitbit or a Jawbone app or any other commercial device in order to use the app to participate in the WNYC Clock Your Sleep project, right?
That's correct. We wanted to make it super easy. You do have to have access to the internet, and that's about it.
Right. An app, if you're using an iPhone and just the internet on any other device. And we're trying to get people from all walks, all ages, all places around the metro area to join us. We've reached out to some people already who are particularly interested. For example, we know that adolescents are wired to stay up late, and yet they have to get up early for school. And so, John, I understand that we have a bunch of high school students tracking their sleep with us.
Yeah, this is actually something that we thought about early on in the project. How do we get people who aren't necessarily going to be coming to WNYC.org or paying for, you know, these bands can run for like $100 to $150. And we talked to the folks at Jawbone, and they actually gave us a whole bunch of them, about 100 of them, to give out to high school students to do this kind of corner of the experiment or the participatory activity. And we're actually going to give these Jawbone ups to for the month to high schoolers at Bronx Academy for Software Engineering, the base school.
Is it Brooklyn?
I think it's
Bronx.
Bronx
Academy for Software Engineering. And I see you have Eleanor Roosevelt High School, Elro, in Manhattan, and you have St. Anne's in Brooklyn, where they don't give kids grades, but I guess they do give them sleep trackers.
Well, we're going to do it for this project, yeah. And that's exactly right. Right. There's all of this discussion right now about, you know, the natural rhythm of a teenager and, you know, how that compares to the school day and how late they're staying up and all of this. And we're going to try to work with our sleep researchers and some of the other folks and these high school students to see if we can see patterns.
Marion in Hackettstown, I think, is going to be the opposite of our last caller, who felt empowered by using her tracker to learn how little she was sleeping. Marion, hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
I received a Fitbit as a gift about a month ago and set it up and actually have become extremely depressed by wearing it because it tells me that I have terrible, terrible sleep. I have restless times, you know, 15, 20 times a night. I have awake times 3 or 4 times a night. And I always knew that I woke up tired, but
whoops,
really nothing that I can do about it because I have 4 small kids. And, you know, unless I'm drugging them before they go to bed, there's just nothing that I can do about it. I feel kind of depressed and helpless about this.
So, John, tell Marion if you know. I realize you don't make, you know, Fitbits and things like that, but you are a community data experiment leader. And so if people who are doing this with us and Marion, who's been doing it on her own, learn these depressing things about their sleep patterns, how can this actually lead to a positive outcome?
Well, a part of the project is also about getting on the email list for this project. And we actually have somebody who's helping pull together information about sleeping and ways you might be able to improve your sleep, tricks and tips. And again, we're working with the researchers that you're talking to this hour all month long to help people think about some of the techniques they might use. The doctor you're going to talk to in just a little bit, Dr. Shelby Harris, is actually really good at figuring out non-medical ways for just improving your sleep. And so it's those kinds of discussions that we're going to have in conjunction with tracking it. So maybe along the line, as part of this ongoing discussion, you'll be able to find some ways to do that better.
So Marion, we're going to bring on Dr. Harris right now, really. So maybe you'll get some answers from her. And thanks for reporting.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, folks, there is this special newsletter that John Keefe just mentioned for our sleep trackers where people can get special charts and invitations to participate in other sleep-related stuff with the station if you're interested. So check that box when you sign up at WNYC.org if you want to take part in our community data experiment called Clock Your Sleep. We will, by the way, be having some of those high school students on this show with us in a few weeks as we follow the results, and we'll take a number of segments throughout the month of April by age. We'll be talking about parents and your babies. We'll be talking about adolescents. We'll be talking about people in sort of the prime of life. We'll be talking about the elderly in sleep. So all coming up on a series of Wednesdays all this month of April. John, anything you want to say just before you go, last word about our Count Your Sleep project?
I would just say that there's more to come. We're also going to be publishing weekly charts about things like how different gendered people are sleeping in New York City. How is it looking, according to our sample, how is it looking according to age? Things like that are going to be rolling out all month. So what you're seeing is just the beginning in the next couple of days and more to come.
WNYC's data unit editor, John Keefe, and the leader of our community data experiment, Clock Your Sleep. Go to WNYC.org/sleep to read more about it and get involved if you want. Talk to you later, John.
Take care.
And Shelby Harris coming up next with the behavioral approach to curing your sleep problems. Stay with us.